Everybody, welcome to What a Hell of a Way to Die. You've got all three of us again. You got Nate, you got Francis, and you got Adrian. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Awesome.
I'm doing great, although New York has transformed itself into a cold rainforest this weekend, so I'm huddled up indoors trying to not shiver.
You know what? I don't give any sympathy to anybody who lives in New York, like unless you were born there, and I don't know anybody who was born in New York. Everybody I know is a transplant.
Nobody was.
If we ever get Dennis on this show, he's actually born and raised in New York. Dennis is my former soldier and probably one of the funniest guys I ever worked with. He was born and raised in Astoria, and as he said, it's nice to see that we have yoga studios now. When I was growing up, we just had stabbings.
Right. see, gentrification isn't all bad. Sometimes you get stabbed less.
Exactly. You know, you have to move out of your neighborhood, though, but less stabbings in the place you used to live in.
Right. You have to move somewhere else where there's more stabbings, but that just makes you feel more at home. Anyway.
Exactly. It's the American way. Go ahead.
Welcome to our new podcast, Three White Guys Talking About Gentrification and Stabbings.
That has never, there's no such thing on the podcast world universe. No one's ever talked about this before. We're breaking new ground.
We're being co-funded by the National Review, the New York Times, and the New Yorker.
Hey, look, I'm going to say, as a white guy that moved into a very mixed neighborhood that are full of a lot of immigrants, especially from Jordan, and a neighborhood that's pretty much half black and half white, other than the Jordanian and Bosnian immigrants, I moved here because it was cheap. I did not move here because, oh, I'm going to make everything so much better. I wanted to own a giant house that was 130 years old and not pay a bunch of money. So for all of you New Yorkers, I have 3,000 square feet for $100,000. So fucking suck it. Hey, you want to come live in St. Louis, man? There's plenty of houses around here.
No, I want to live in Ukraine with Adrian because I want to eat cabbage and get shelled.
Hell yeah.
All right. So this week we want to talk about a couple of things, but as a familiar topic of the Trump administration, we are going to talk about liberals who really believe in the deep state and that it's going to save them. So this week, well, in the last 10 days or so, a big thing happened. Francis, perhaps you want to tell our audience what it was.
Which big thing are we talking about here?
The president did fire the FBI director.
Well, okay. I mean, look, if we're going to talk about big things that happen when it comes to the Trump administration, we definitely have to, be a little bit more, big thing that happened, specific FBI. Yes, James Comey was fired recently from his position as the FBI chief in charge of everything, which a lot of people, I think that they had this idea that like nobody would complain about it because liberals didn't like Comey, because a lot of liberals blame Comey for Hillary losing, even though God knows there's about 100 other factors that, can be brought into why Hillary lost this election. But Comey was an easy scapegoat and they all wanted to fire him 6 months ago, but now he's getting fired and everybody's up in arms about it. Mostly because there's still a lot of crazy fucked up shit that's happening when it comes to the Trump administration, Russia, various ties all over the place with other, God, just everything, man. And the FBI has been trying to suss that out, and you don't just fire the head guy. That looks real suspicious.
I mean, to be fair, he fired him basically a week after he said, hey, I need more resources for this Russia investigation. And then Trump, in his infinite genius way, went on TV in a number of other interviews and said, oh, yeah, I didn't like him talking about this Russia thing all the time, so I fired him. So he's basically, not that it matters, because the only people that could enforce the law are Republicans, who are basically somewhere between the getting money as an elected official to being on Fox News permanently pipeline. That being said, it doesn't come across as like, oh, great, I'm glad Comey got fired, he was so mean to Hillary. It's more like the Saturday Night Massacre, referencing the Nixon administration and the results of that afterwards. So it's just, once again, though, there I see a lot popping up amongst liberals and such on Twitter and elsewhere that there's hope that if Trump goes to war with the intelligence community, he has no idea what's coming for him, which once again strikes me as a kind of fantasy escapism that the noble FBI agents are going to save us, when anyone who's ever worked with the FBI knows that many of them are basically racist Boy Scouts.
Yeah, I think when the election was still happening, it was CIA was going for Hillary and FBI was for Trump. And of course, like, you know, I don't know how much anybody else in the FBI really liked Comey or, you know, it's very like, you know, oh shit, I can just be fired for trying to do my job. Like that doesn't bode well. Like for the FBI especially, like it's not like me who like, you know, I'm constantly afraid of losing my job because I have, you know, a wife and a family and a house and everything. So I, you know, try to kiss the ass of my boss constantly. You know, the FBI, I'm sure you ruffle them the wrong way and they will find any kind of way to fuck with your life. The question, though, is that a good idea or not to have the FBI doing something like that?
Remember, you know, I think one of the best single pieces of evidence for, like, the deep space, credible pieces of evidence for the deep state conspiracy theory is what happened to General Petraeus. The FBI played a role in that indirectly, in that it was this, not a rogue, an FBI agent who was infatuated with one of the like Tampa Bay socialites that was like exchanging tawdry emails with General Allen and General Petraeus. You guys remember what I'm talking about here?
I do, yeah. There was some very strange kind of love triangle action happening at MacDill Air Base.
Yeah, and so the socialite, for whatever reason, had been involved with the FBI guy and had asked the FBI guy to, like, I'm forgetting exactly what went down now. All I know is there was a creepy stalker-esque FBI guy who definitely exceeded his authority in like taking, like monitoring somebody or, you know, getting notes on somebody. And this is the type of thing that it's not entirely dissimilar from like, and I know the DEA and the FBI are two totally separate organizations. The DEA dude who was stalking that Brazilian girl that was out in the news recently. You know, it's very difficult to have a conversation about this stuff without wandering into conspiracy theory land. But the truth is, there isn't. These are people who have access to a heck of a lot of information, and there really isn't that much access oversight of them on a certain level. The people who have the most access, I'm not sure why people don't get disturbed by that. You know, when things are going well, it's only when they're like, you know, there's like the bad president or the bad Congress that people are like, oh, you know, like we should be worried about the, you know, these people having so much power. But it's been this way for a while. This is by far the most conspiracy theorist thing that I've said, and I apologize. And this is ranty, and I actually disagree with everything that I just said. So never mind, strike it from the record.
But I guess I just look at it that this, the FBI conspiracy theory, FBI deep state is going to save us, Putin, you know, hacked my Wi-Fi. This is birtherism for liberals.
Yes.
This is the liberal equivalent of the woman in the town hall holding the letter in a baggie saying Obama is a citizen of Kenya. This is the kind of self-deluding, you know, recursive conspiracy theories that I used to get forwarded to my email by, you know, the 75-year-old guy, rest in peace, because he recently died, who taught me how to ride a bike, but who was like a merchant marine sailor and then retired and basically went on full. Basically, he watched Fox News a lot in his later years, and it made him believe that the world was being infiltrated by Marxist Kenyans and the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, it's one of those things where we like to tut and scoff at this because people on the left, or people in the center left, rather, I should say, think that they're above this. But they're not above this. They feel the same level of powerlessness that others might have felt in marginalized positions when all of a sudden Congress won't do anything even though they should because they're corrupt and they're craven and they control the government and they can't do anything because the Democrats can just like, you know, make snarky tweets, but they can't actually stop it. And so what they're hoping is that they're literally hoping that someone pops Trump off or something like that, you know, goes full conspiracy theory, goes like, no, I'm not going to say assassination, but you know what I mean. Like, basically delivers the goods that's going to somehow incriminate him, as if there's some line that you can cross of misbehavior that all of a sudden these Republicans are going to say, oh, wow, that was the racism was okay, the misogyny, the sexism, the corruption, the graft, the general just contempt for everything about governance and professionalism, but like, oh, wow, he got peed on in Moscow. Nuh-uh, I can't handle this anymore. We've got to impeach him.
I would actually respect him more if the pee tape comes out. And, you know, if there's one thing that we have learned about what it does take to bring somebody down, look no further than Milo Yabadabadopoulos, who was horribly racist and horribly anti-woman and anti-Muslim. And, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, it's blah, blah. And then he said something about, you know, a 14-year-old hooking up with a 25-year-old and in the gay community that happens all the time and it's perfectly okay. And he immediately lost everything. So as long as we can find like smoking gun evidence of Trump, like feeling up a 15-year-old girl, I think we'll have him. Or if we have him on tape saying the N-word, I think that would do it as well.
I think the N-word would actually make people in his camp support him more because it's like, yeah, I say it all the time too. Why can't he?
In his camp, sure, but no like Republican, you know, we don't have a Strom Thurmond in the Senate or the House anymore. We have some like terribly racist people.
No, you have John Cornyn and fucking Jeff Sessions.
And Steve King. And, you know, yeah, and Beauregard up there. But you know, none of them would be like, yeah, I mean, it's perfectly okay for us to say the N-word. Like, that is where racism, like, I'm sure they say it at home all the time. I'm sure there's, like, a notebook that Jeff Sessions has that he angrily scribbles the N-word
every
in,
one
like,
of
every
Jeff
day.
Sessions' salt shakers is a pickaninny figure.
Right.
There's no spice container in his house that doesn't look like it's something out of a Mammy video.
Right, but... Go ahead, Adrian.
So really quick, just to clarify, I totally got the FBI involvement wrong for the Petraeus scandal. It is funny, but it is not relevant to our discussion of deep space, the deep state. I don't know why I keep
deep
saying
space is
deep
also
space.
A good idea.
Yeah. We're still coming down off
about
of
deep
space
nine.
I'm obsessed with Deep Space Nine now. Apart from that, also season one, really underrated. Rewatched it recently. Actually, really underrated. But leaving that aside, let me just read this really quickly because you guys will get a kick out of it. It's a blast from the past. This is the summary and chronology of events that led to the Petraeus scandal. According to media reports, the case was officially initiated by FBI agent Frederick W. Humphreys II after he received a complaint about cyberstalking from Jill Kelly. She was a socialite. Humphreys reported it to his superiors and then to Republican congressional leaders Dave Reichert and Eric Cantor, who then reported it to the director of the FBI, Robert Mueller. After Humphreys received complaints from Kelly that she was being stalked, the stalker was eventually found to be Paula Broadwell, so on and so forth. So that's where the FBI was involved with that. But another director of the FBI, how convenient, how convenient.
So Adrian, you being a famously old New England blue blood, emphasis on old. Is it true that the FBI and the CIA recruit from different populations and that the CIA is more of like the liberal Ivy Leaguers type versus the FBI? That's what I'd heard, but I don't really know much about it.
Here's what I'll say. I know that the CIA recruits from the liberal Northeastern institutions pretty heavily, as well as from the Mormon community. Bizarrely enough,
and I don't. So does the FBI, yeah, definitely.
I don't know about the FBI, so that may confirm your suspicion.
Well, that being said, if there's any one thing I can possibly put out there, the deep state won't save us. It won't even help us. And when people talk about, oh, if only there could be a military coup, which, to be fair, has reduced somewhat in these past couple of months, whereas like right after Trump got elected, there were people that were openly fantasizing about the idea that. The military would be better if it just took over. Having been in the military where I had to get mass punished because someone wore the wrong hat to PT or like our brigade commander was tearing ass around base because he saw a soldier unshaven smoking a cigarette on a Sunday morning. Like, I don't really think you want the order and organization that a military coup would bring to this country. It would probably look a lot more like fat Pinochet than it would like some sort of, you know, end season finale of the West Wing or whatever the fuck people use as their like fantasy bases.
Yeah, I don't think people understand exactly how the military operates. Like, we have one way of doing things, and that's shooting it or blowing it up. Like, we don't do well with nation building. We don't do well with counterinsurgency. And we certainly don't do well with, you know, just like talking to people and having an actual conversation. So I don't understand why they think, you know, we would come in, arrest Trump, you know, arrest everybody in the executive branch, you know, and then I don't know, like, put in a benevolent general somewhere as your leader. I don't know what I think the idea is that, like, step one, we arrest Trump. Step two, question marks. Step three, Hillary is president for life.
Exactly. And the thing too is, like, who are you going to install? Ray Odierno, the guy who's like, I'm going to put law and order into the city of Balad. Oh, by the way, my platoon leaders threw some guys off a bridge and drowned them. Like, whoops. I didn't intend for you to do that. Like, what if Ray, is Ray Odierno going to be the fucking supreme leader of the ruling junta of the United States? I mean, who's it going to be? Is it going to be David Petraeus, famously reliable and chaste?
No, we're going to put Mad Dog
Stanley McChrystal, who will be like, I mean, who's great at killing people, but maybe not so good at things like negotiating a constitutional crisis. I don't know, but the idea it's escapism. There's no basis in reality. You can look at countries where this has happened and it's all gone to shit. Like, it certainly never works out for liberal democracy, because liberal democracy is messy and inconvenient to people who have money and power. So what makes you think things in this country, you know, as we spiral towards some sort of weird cataclysm because of the growing disparities of inequality and the degradation of everything that's not coastal elites and all of these things that we've just kind of kicked the can down the road for decades. What makes you think that, oh, if the military took over, it would suddenly become Sweden instead of looking like fucking Jordan or Syria?
Well, so a piece of that, I think, and this is something we've talked about before and is popular on to no end on weird Twitter, as well it should be. Is the fetishization of power, authority, and hierarchy in both parties, like the Democrats and the Republicans. And that's why to any group that is out of power, a military coup is always going to feel like it could be a solution. Because you think about the military, it has a high approval rating, people like it in the abstract. And there are clearly delineated, you know, spheres of power and influence, and you have to address people by title. I mean, like, that was actually kind of what the Democratic Party wanted for America. They wanted to impose their person, and it really was an imposition. The idea that people in the, you know, the famous people in West Virginia, poor West Virginia, they always, you know, get maligned in this type of discussion. But they understood that the people in West Virginia weren't going to vote for them. And they were thinking to themselves, fine, much in the same way that any, you know, military dictatorship has always said, like, well, we'll just make the you know, we'll whip harder and the factory workers will work harder because they have to. And that was sort of their vision for America, is that you're going to do the right thing because we say so and because it's the right thing to do. But like the right thing to do part came after. So military coup, fine. I mean, like, that was kind of what they were doing with Hillary Clinton in the first place. That's why she lost. Like,
why can't you get with the program?
God,
people in West Virginia or Rust Belt or, you know, Southern Indiana, why can't you get with the program? It's like, don't worry, we'll reduce the sentences when your kids get arrested for meth or heroin, but we're not going to fix the problem. Like, we don't do social services. We don't, come on, this is the new era of Democrats. And I realize that I'm being uncharitable, but I mean, fuck. It's just, it's a kind of fantasy world that doesn't correspond to any reality. And I think the thing that's illuminating to me, at least, is the idea that these are people who, you know, huffed and puffed about how George Bush was going to declare martial law. And now they want martial law, as long as it's good martial law. It's martial law on my side. It makes Hillary president. Otherwise, it's bad martial law. It's like, I just don't think they realize what that entails. And they won't realize it until, you know, there's a roadblock and their fucking car is getting ripped through by a bunch of 19-year-olds, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's... anyway.
There is no...
go ahead, Francis.
Yeah, there is no, like... The military coup idea is the... it's pretty much the biggest compromise you can do, in which absolutely nobody's going to be happy. As I always tell, you know, the liberal people, the military is not exactly, you know, going to be happy and wonderful to you. And as I tell the conservatives, we will take your guns if we feel that you're a threat. we will suspend, you know, the military will suspend the Constitution and take your guns. And guess what? We won't give them back. We'll probably destroy them or use them for our own uses. There is no happy ending to a military coup in the United States. There has never been a happy ending to a military coup that I can think of. I'm sure somebody will tell me something
Burma.
On Twitter.
Burma.
Who?
No, I'm kidding.
Burma?
Burma did not have a happy ending. I'm just kidding.
I mean, shit, the last military coup I can remember is the one that they had, the attempted one in Turkey, in which, like, helicopters were gunning down civilians. Guess what? That's what a military coup looks like. It's not quiet and wonderful and ooh, ooh, ooh. Hey, military coup, how many goddamn nukes do we have? Suddenly, whose hands are those in? Are we going to fracture the military? Look, it's just a big logistics nightmare, and I just don't want to deal with it.
The sovereign state of North Dakota is going to take control of its nukes from Minot Air Base. And suddenly North Dakota is going to become the capital of the United States because nobody else will have nukes.
Not if Nellis has anything to say about it.
Jesus, this is going to get ugly. Speaking of weird Cold War tech fantasies, let's talk about Donald Trump and catapults on aircraft carriers.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. So, backstory.
I can leave this in if you want.
Yeah, well, for the backstory of it, if you haven't heard, Trump had some weird rants about wanting to save money on aircraft carriers, and so he was saying that instead of having the digital catapult launchers, which you basically snap the front of your F-35 onto it, or F-22, or F-15, and it flings it off of the aircraft carrier so that you can take off from an aircraft carrier. He wants to go back to steam because it's cheaper. I don't understand. We don't do steam because we have something better now. And somehow now we need to go back to steam because it's going to save us money.
So I don't know if people all read this. The Time magazine published a pretty long story where they had excerpted on the record portions of an interview with President Trump. And basically, Trump wants to save money in various things, to include cutting strange, sort of arbitrary line items from the defense budget, which in this case includes the electromagnetic aircraft launch system, which I wasn't in the Navy, but it seems that using electromagnets makes a little more sense than steam when one is helping to launch a fighter plane off the deck of an aircraft carrier. So I'm going to read a quote from this. This is Donald Trump talking about steam aircraft launch systems on aircraft carriers. This is in Trump's voice. He said, "I said, you don't use steam anymore for catapult? No, sir. I said, oh, how's it working? Sir, not good. Not good. Doesn't have the power. You know steam is just brutal. You see that sucker going and steam's going all over the place and there's planes thrown in the air. It sounded bad to me. Digital. They have digital. What is digital? And it's very complicated. You have to be Albert Einstein to figure it out." And I said, "Now they're going to want to buy more aircraft carriers." I said, "What system are you going to be? Sir, we're staying with digital." I said, "No, you're not. You're going to goddamn steam. The digital costs hundreds of millions of dollars more money, and it's no good."
If I read into what that article, which I also saw, and what you just reread, if I'm reading into that properly, Trump talked to a single disgruntled, like, warrant officer or maybe a tech sergeant, and based on that interaction, decided that he was going to scrap a multi-hundred million dollar project, which is sort of beautiful in its own right.
And I like the idea that we need to save money by changing from steam to digital to steam, and not, don't build a 13th fucking aircraft carrier.
Right.
I mean, I'm always wary, and don't get me wrong, I love my enlisted sides of the house, but when you base a decision on the opinion of one solitary soldier, sailor, airman, marine, you can sometimes get strange and arbitrary decisions. For example, I don't know if you guys remember the first strike rations, but I swear to God, it was like they asked a couple of soldiers, like, "Hey, what do you guys want in your rations?" And one was like, "I like Pop-Tarts." And they was like, "Well, I like Hot Pockets." And the other one's like, "Oh, I like candy." And so they're like, "Okay, we're going to make a ration. It's 24 hours worth of food, and it's nothing but Pop-Tarts, Hot Pockets, and candy." And that's really what it is, was the same menu over and over again. Maybe that was defense contractors, who knows? But in my mind, I'm always thinking, who made this decision? Similarly with this, like, okay, I'm sure that if I were to pick one of my soldiers off the line, say in Korea, he'd be like, My underwear is chafing my ass really bad right now, and we need better underwear. Now, the Army may not need better underwear. Like, the issued drawers aren't that big of a deal. Most people buy their own, but, like, that's not necessarily a priority. But if you pick that one soldier with a chafed ass, it is a priority. You know what I mean? Same thing. This disgruntled petty officer who's like, I don't like electromagnets. I like steam. Steam is cool. It rocks. It reminds me of fucking heavy metal band videos from the 80s. We need steam and not electromagnets. Like, great, but this is the thing that's been a budget item for probably a fucking decade, improving our incredibly expensive aircraft carriers.
Right.
And why would you pick this as the thing?
And you know that he talked to some old head who was bitching about how things changed. Because petty officer, fourth class, whatever, E4, E5, none of them ever dealt with a steam aircraft carrier. I guarantee it. They probably all, okay, I'm not going to guarantee that. I don't know shit about the Navy. But it really does sound like somebody who like me, who would be like, God, I miss the old BDUs. The old BDUs were great. They were a good heavy material. They had buttons everywhere. You could starch the shit out of it, get a good, crease to it and everything. They just felt really...
They had four pockets on the front. They were great.
Right. They had a little place that you could put your chemical detector that we all used for pens, and the drill sergeants would yell at us anyway. But they were really comfortable. I love the black boots. I wish we went back to the black boots because I love getting a good shine on my boots, really relaxing to shine my boots. But nobody's going to come to me for that information, and they shouldn't. The military should continue to try to move on and improve things. We moved away from the black boots. We moved away from the DCUs and BDUs for a reason, I'm sure. Now, the current combat uniform, well, the combat uniform,
okay, the
ACUs, the last digital ones kind of sucked, but the new ones are really nice. But
as a side note, we've got to do an episode on the ACU because that story is so convoluted, and it basically comes down to the Marines had a sexy uniform, the Army wanted one, and so their solution was to form this committee, and the general in charge of the committee just arbitrarily picked one pattern and then retired and took a job with the company that made the pattern.
Which is to say, did not so arbitrarily pick a pattern. Sorry, continue, Francis.
It's amazing. It's an amazing story. But long story short, bring it back to what Francis was just saying, no, it's stupid. Like, who cares? Like, if you ask Jeff Sessions, the Army was at its peak in 1947 before they desegregated it. Like, I don't think it was. The Army was actually fucked up pretty bad as they ended World War II and, tried to switch to a peacetime Army. And that's why they kind of got their asses rocked in Korea in 1950. But anybody who's nostalgic for the time that they were in service could be like, oh, no, I liked it better when it was X or Y or Z. I mean, I could be like, you know what? Nostalgic for when I was 23 years old. Like, man, I wish the Army could go back to the way it was in 2007. But anybody who was in the Army in 2007 knows it was a fucking train wreck because, the sign at the front of Fort Benning that had all the lists of units that were deployed, they had to build a second sign because, all the hangars for the different units had touched the ground to the point where it would have looked like a great big, stepladder, a rope ladder hanging on the ground of, dozens and dozens of units that were deployed. Like, it was a meat grinder. But I could just be an idiot and be like, oh, I wish it was. I remember those days. It was so much better back then. NCOs were hard and soldiers were tough and leaders were men and X whatever. But it's the same stupid shit.
There's another point that I saw about the steam versus electromagnetic digital aircraft launcher on an aircraft carrier, which is I saw somebody say, somebody said, anything electromagnetic or electrical could potentially be knocked out by an EMP. And what impressed me about this was that somebody would have reasoned out that there was a weapon that could knock out electromagnetic capabilities or digital capabilities. I'm not sure I'm not 100% sure that that's the case, but let's say for a moment that is, and didn't take it the step further to then provide the criticism that if there are EMP shockwaves being directed against aircraft carriers, that means we're in a nuclear war. And
yeah, I was going to say, doesn't it require a nuclear device?
Probably not so big of an issue that your aircraft carrier launcher isn't working anymore. There are bigger things going on now.
The threat of EMP knocking out your digital systems has only ever been a serious concern in the 1995 James Bond film GoldenEye. Right. Outside of that, it's such a goddamn impossibility that, like, anybody saying that is just basically, he's probably has a Warhammer fucking figurine set where they conduct double pincer flank maneuvers on each other.
Right, right.
Because, like, it's a fantasy world. It doesn't actually exist.
Yeah, I think what happened is everybody watched Ocean's 11, the remake, and they saw an EMP yes. knock out all the electricity in Las Vegas for 30 seconds and was like, this movie is probably correct in how it portrays weapons. And also, who gives a fuck? Okay, say an EMP drops near an aircraft carrier. Okay, your launcher doesn't work. Guess what else doesn't work? Fucking everything there.
Exactly. Your radios are fucked.
Your airplanes are fucked. What are you launching into the air? Some some P-52 Mustangs or some shit? What do you think that you've got? Oh, yeah, exactly. My propeller-driven F-15 will make it up into the air. Fuck no, it's not. Nothing
good,
is.
Good thing I have
fried.
This SR-71 Blackbird that has nothing but knobs and twirls inside it. It's like the most analog plane in existence. It's like, gotta go to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, get out, they go in the museum and start pulling aircraft out.
Yeah, like they're gonna, like you're gonna launch the fucking Red Baron from the aircraft carrier to go, like, do a counterattack or some shit. Like, everything is down. Everything.
But, you know, so I'm guessing that really when you get down to it, like, there's probably somebody in Trump's security entourage who's, like, 65 years old and was, like, in the Navy in, you know, 1970 and then became a cop and is now, like, one of his bodyguards who's, like, no, it was better when the Navy was segregated and Filipinos had to stay below decks and we had steam power. And he just happened to be the last person that was Trump's actual like next to him and say this in his ear, and so Trump was like, oh, I don't like digital. I mean, it's kind of bizarre when you think of the idea that our president, the president of the most powerful nation in the history of mankind, is a moron who's like a blank slate and just babbles what his weird rendition, his interpretation of whatever the last person said to him was.
If you roll your eyes and put something in scare quotes, that's enough to make Donald Trump not like it, basically. That's how to get something removed from Donald
and
Trump.
I cannot believe nobody has been smart enough to capitalize on this yet. Like, as if, you know, Trump comes to me and is like, oh, Sergeant Horton, what do you like and what do you dislike about the military? You know what? I'm going to be like, man, you know what? I don't really like the Canon cameras. I want to go back to the Nikons. You know what, sir? The Canon cameras are just terrible. I really want to go back to the Nikons. Nikon digital. Cameras are going to be right back into my hand. Oh, I won't say digital. That word will probably scare them. But I mean, like, these Canon cameras.
So what you're
cameras,
basically
really
saying is that it's the hosts of Fox and Friends are basically directing national policy. Like, you laughed and slept on fucking Steve Doocy for so long, but now he's like the Cardinal Richelieu to, you know, Henry the fuck. I got the king wrong. What was it? Louis XIV? Yeah, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's,
you probably know European history way better than I do, Adrian.
No, that's right. Richelieu's Louis XIV.
But I was about to say, like, Henry VIII, because it's just, oh, it's a king with a Roman numeral, whatever.
The only other one I know is Louis XVI, but that's because St. Louis is named after him.
Really?
I think so, yeah. We're a French city. We're named after one of the French kings. I'm pretty sure it was the 16th. Anyway. Anyway.
So long story short, yeah, our steampunk president doesn't like digital.
Yeah, and people really ought to, like, I'm worried about, like, when he goes and talks to some crusty master sergeant that's just like, yo, these daggers and these CPODs, command posts of the future, and these Blue Force trackers, they're really difficult. I really wish that we would all go back to land nav. And Trump's just like, that's it. Everybody's getting paper maps, and you're shooting azimuths all day. It's like, fuck.
I'm so bad at it already. He's like, encryption, it's digital, it's shit, you know? Anybody can just get on the phone and make up a new encryption, and then your radios don't talk anymore. Like, we need to go back to code books.
We should
analog communications.
We should go into all of the Smithsonians and break out all of the Enigma machines and start using those.
I don't know, he might not like gears, too. You never know. I mean, steampunk people are weird. Like, everything has to be made out of wood or some shit. I don't know. I mean, like, all I know about steampunk is, like, some nerds on Tumblr and Final Fantasy VI, so.
And a lot of goggles for some reason. They're always wearing goggles, like, they're constantly in, like, 60-mile-an-hour wind.
I think Waterworld had way more influence on that than we're giving like the credit for, because it definitely is a goggle centric movie, and it's got some weird dumb technology. And for some reason, it just came to mind because there's a lot of explosions and a lot of really stupid people on screen, and that makes me think of Donald Trump.
Oh, that makes me think about steampunk.
Anyway, so Adrian, you had a comment about something involving uniform changes. Is that not correct?
Yeah. Well, so before we launch into that, I was wrong actually about Richelieu. He was the dude for Louis XIII.
Aha.
Louis XIII. Yeah, vastly underrated French president. French king, who was
king. Not president was sort of a
president's our thing now. Who was overshadowed by Louis XIV, the Sun King.
I love that Adrian is constantly fact checking himself. Like, I'll say some wrong shit and just move on, but Adrian, no, I gotta.
Well, see, that's the beauty of having three of us on this show, is that two can be talking while one is stealth Googling to determine that we actually fucked up because we don't know what we're talking about.
Right, right. So here's another thing we may not know that what we're talking about in with, and that is the possible upcoming uniform changes proposed by people in the army who want to go back to the World War II uniform. I read about this in the Military Times, and that's how I know that it's true.
Well, so yeah, you're right. On Army Times, headline is Army Uniform Board to Consider Bringing Back Iconic Pinks and Greens Uniforms, published May 14th, today, a couple of hours ago. And as the lead says, what's old is new again as Sergeant Major of the Army Dan Daly pushes ahead on bringing back a vintage uniform. The Army's top enlisted soldier is heading to the next uniform board meeting armed with the results of an exclusive Army Times survey to make the case for bringing back an iconic World War II era uniform for everyday business wear, he told Army Times in an interview last week. That was the uniform of the greatest generation. That there was a lot of prestige and honor associated with that. The American public identified with that uniform, he said. We think that is more appropriate than trying to create something new, end quote.
You know what else is pretty cool from that era? All the banned cartoons, Popeye, Bugs Bunny, when they're beaten up on the Japanese, and, you know, the racial caricatures. They should bring those back, too. Let's get the whole thing, not just the uniforms.
So I'm somewhat struck by the idea that this is the priority. That being said, I mean, it's Military Times, famous for, how do we say this, bullshit headlines that soldiers read and don't read the articles, sort of a anachronistic paper Facebook sold in shopettes and PXs everywhere that then turns into the stuff of scuttlebutt and grumbling rumors about Obama's taking away your E5 promotion, or, you know, soon BAH will be taxable, or whatever the fuck they're talking about. And invariably it comes down to like a really strained hypothetical decision that the Pentagon might be considering. Maybe basically the Pentagon hasn't denied considering, and thus becomes the substance of the headline story for Military Times. That being said, if Military Times did the survey and then gave the survey to the Sergeant Major of the Army and then says, oh, wow, the Sergeant Major of the Army has our survey, it sort of feels like they've kind of become they're sort of shoehorning their own bullshit into the news.
You know, as Nate mentions, the Military Times and its offshoots, Army, Navy, Air Force Times, Marine Times, they're all basically the same thing. Each one is just slightly tailored to the branch. But here's something.
Well, no, the Marine Times is different. It's actually just reproduction printing photos of nudes that have been stolen from female Marines.
Okay, so Army Times, new in 2017. This is from December 24th, 2016. Beards, nail polish, and earrings. They're happening, maybe. Let's see. New jungle. And this is like new, you know, 21 big changes coming to the Army this year in 2017. And to draw down new SecDef, new Sec Army, obviously, you know, those were, you know, big things. Trump's first big budget. But I mean, this is 2016. So they're like literally none of this is, it's all speculation. Decision time on retirement, women in combat units, which we do have, new jungle boots, I doubt, bigger exercises in Africa, new body fat rules, VA reforms, training education changes, new commissary prices, and end of sequestration. And if you go to any of these, like I said, it's all just rumor and conjecture. There's no like, here's actually literally what's happening. But the thing about the Military Times websites is they are civilian run, which means that they need bullshit headlines to get people to click on their bullshit stuff and click on their bullshit ads as well. And that is the unfortunate thing, because as you said, dumb E2s and E3s who have been in for about a year or so see a thing about a new PT test, which God knows there's constantly new PT test stories being run, and how we're all going to start doing pull-ups, or how we're going to have a 1.5 mile run, and how dare they take a half mile off of our run, which, God, I would fucking love it if they would take a half mile off the run. I hate running.
Another point there is just I want to bring up what I used to distract you earlier, Francis, because it's so perfect and backs up like everything you're saying. In the article of the Army Times, when I was reading it, there were 145 comments, and the most recent comment was by this guy wearing multicam, and he had simply posted under the article in all caps, "No more changes." And you could really feel the frustration, like, from this guy who had just read this article and was clearly, you know, it had affected him. He was like, enough changes, no more changes. That's what he wanted. He didn't want a World War II uniform. He didn't want a new uniform. He wanted things to be exactly the same. And I found that very amusing.
So I'm interested also in the methodology of the survey, because it says in February, at Daly's request, Army Times emailed a survey about the pinks and greens to 28,000 active duty Army Times subscribers. Respondents had a week to respond, and more than 5,000 of them did. About 77% of respondents, all of whom said they were active duty soldiers, said they would like the World War II uniform. So, does Army Times require a payslip from DFAS, a current payslip, or an ID card photocopy to confirm that you're actually in active duty military as a subscriber? Because I kind of doubt it. And if they don't, how in the fuck do you know that these people responding to the survey aren't all like 60-year-old retirees on Facebook? Basically, the overwhelming majority of Military Times' commenter base. Like, anytime there's a Military Times online survey, it's always like, it's basically angry Vietnam Cold War dads raging about, like, oh no, there's black people in the military. Like, anytime there's anything that's supposedly sourced from their subscribers, I always take that with a grain of salt, because I just, having been the target of Military Times stuff, in the sense that, they ran a story about veterans talking about gun control, and I got to be, you know, one of the names named. It strikes me that the overwhelming number of these people are just bitter old fucking retiree jackasses who don't like the fact that the world is changing. And what you just described, Adrian, they're basically the same people who have become more and more alienated from their families because they watch Fox News and rage about liberals and, you know, the sneaky, surly minorities. And it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, in the sense that, like, now you've given them a survey and they're like, of course they want to go back to World War II. Do you know what was really great about the military for them in World War II? Literally, it was segregated.
Well, also they were also like 20 years old and probably banging French broads and getting drunk on a regular basis.
No, they had the old fucking manual type version of 4chan that was circulated like GI newspapers. Like, you didn't know this, but there actually was a, you know, underground GI newspaper that was nothing but anime, but it was actually woodcuts pressed on paper.
Yeah, why don't capital T they just get their hair cut like everybody else? Why do they have to put it in cornrows? You know, why can't everyone be exactly the same, comma, like me? They should just get a haircut, pull up your pants and get a haircut.
My favorite Military Times sort of comparison was a couple of months ago, there was a story saying that a Marine lieutenant colonel was being charged with sexual assault of a minor, like gross sexual battery of a minor, like a child under 10. And the story read that it was following divorce proceedings from his wife. And the number one upvoted comment was, oh, divorce, his wife. I'm going to wait for both sides of this story to come out. Like, just trust me on this, guys. Right. Women lie.
Yeah.
And then there was a story about how the West Point cadets who had graduated and who were seen raising their fists in a photo, there was an investigation found out there was no wrongdoing. And the argument, the number one upvoted comment was basically, Oh, of course, because the army investigated itself. Do you really believe this? Like, who do you think runs these things? And I was just sort of like, guy rapes a child. Oh, you better hear both sides. Black people exist and get in a group and take a photo. Oh, fuck, army is PC and run by social justice warriors. And you realize that the only common denominator through all of this is that it's angry people online who basically want to use the platform, like the greatest communication platform in human history, to bitch about how, like what you just said, Adrian, pull up your pants. Why can't it be the same?
All right, everybody, thank you so much for coming out with us again. Glad to catch up on current events.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
And look forward to some exciting bonus content coming for all you subscribers as we finally kind of get into our groove of being able to record independently.
Yeah, I'm really... Adrian, you sent me one. I just downloaded it. I haven't gotten a chance to listen to it yet. But we've got a lot of good stuff. And hopefully we're going to get a real editor, too, pretty soon. So
exactly.
Looking forward to our recordings. Maybe not, you know, the content not being better, but at least the quality being better.
Less cursing. You know, keep it clean, we'll fellas. Keep it clean.
We'll still be dumbasses.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.